All right, so I am so excited to dive into God's Word with y'all this afternoon. I've been praying for this day for a long time. It was a thought of mine a long time ago, and it's finally coming to fruition. I believe that God has brought each of you here to this place for a reason, and I also believe thoroughly that God will speak to each and every one of you this afternoon. And so turn with your Bible, if you have one, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 17. Romans 10, 8 through 17. Again, if you do not have your Bible, you have a snippet of it into the bulletin that you received. This is the word of the Lord. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for bringing these people, bringing myself to this service right now. God, thank you for these words. God, I pray that the gospel would sink deep into our hearts this afternoon. God, that it would affect change in our minds, in our actions, in our thoughts. God, that we would go from this place excited and encouraged. God, that we would strive to be better representations of you to a dying world around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. When I ask you guys, what would it sound like to receive an invitation from the most important person alive to join them in the most important venture on the planet? I think if you're anything like me, I would be semi-excited, but also a little nervous. I think most of us would probably maybe hesitate for a moment, but quickly join in on such a venture. To be a part of something so important with someone so important is exciting. And according to the passage that we just read, this is exactly yours and my scenario. You and I are invited by God to be involved in the world's greatest initiative, to participate in the planet's biggest project, and to engage in history's most exciting enterprise. And so we ask, what is this enterprise? What is this great global venture? It is God's glory spreading through the nations. The seeking and the saving of lost souls. Jesus, he leads this mission, he began this mission, and now he sits at his Father's right hand. And by his Spirit, through his own people, he is extending his offer of life to every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. All need Christ, both Jew and Greek, American and Egyptian. The need is universal. And you and I are invited to join the King of Kings in this global work. We are each called to share this simple gospel that we have come to know. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. We get to proclaim the good news that salvation is close at hand. We get to encourage the masses to place their trust in the person and the finished work of Jesus Christ. We get to encourage the masses to lean on him, to confess his lordship, to trust in him and receive new life. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? When one hears the good news of Jesus Christ, lives begin to irreversibly change. This calling to proclaim the gospel, to participate in God's global mission, it's not simply, as some people think, is for a radical few Christians. This is a calling, indeed a command, for every Christian. If you are a Christ follower, then you must allow God's global causes to dictate all that you do, all that you think, all that you say? And so again, we must ask, what is this global cause? It is to preach the good news, to spread God's glory. Jesus' global cause, his calling, was made pretty crystal clear throughout his ministry from start to finish. When Jesus first calls out to his disciples in Matthew chapter 4, he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus does not simply say, "Follow me," but he essentially says, "Follow me, and I will teach you to make others into disciples." From the beginning, Jesus has made it crystal clear that he expects you and I to participate in the spread of the gospel. The last command of Jesus was along these same lines, saying in Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." From beginning to end, Jesus made it clear we are called to follow after Jesus and point others to him as we go along. Every single Christian is called to think globally and live for God's glory. So I think then the question becomes, how do we join in on this task? How do we accomplish this task? I think we begin to spread the gospel passionately. Take the gospel across your street to your neighbors. Maybe even right now, think in your mind. Think of those neighbors that live maybe just a few houses down. Spreading the gospel on your street, in your circles of influence, is vital. There are great needs in this city. There is work to be done here and now, this very day. But here's the thing. This city, Kansas City, encapsulates less than 1% of this world that we live in. There are great needs in every corner of this world, not just in your corner. For again, in verse 12, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the Lord is Lord of all." There is a universal need. There are needs in every corner of this earth. And yet oftentimes, a disproportionate amount of our time, energy, and resources are given to this fraction of a percent. The people in our neighborhoods are relatively well engaged. The people on your street are relatively well engaged. Don't mishear me, because I think you might. There are great needs here. There are great needs in Kansas City. But there is also a large, often neglected group of people who are unreached. And these people are in dire circumstances. Unreached people are defined as peoples among whom Christ is largely unknown and the church is relatively insufficient to make Christ known without outside help. So these peoples are defined as people whom Christ is largely unknown and the church is relatively insufficient. There are close to 8 billion people living in our world today, and over 40% of these people would be labeled unreached. I don't know if any of you are good at math. I'm not very, so I had to look this up a little bit more. That means there are more than 3.3 billion people on this globe today, right now, that have little to no access to the gospel. Little to no access to the good news. Over 3 billion. This should not sit well with us as believers, as Christians, as Christ followers. This should bring us to our knees. We should not be okay with hearing this statistic. This is not just another statistic to write down in our journals and say, "Oh, that's kind of interesting." This should devastate us to know that there are billions and billions and billions of people on our globe right now with little to no access to the gospel. How are they, the unreached, to hear without someone preaching the good news? I pray that every single one of us would be involved in the global mission of our God. I pray that hearts would be stirred, even right now, for the nation, stirred for these people. That is my goal for the rest of this short sermon, is simply to begin to cultivate hearts for the nations, to begin to send out preachers, send out goers into the nations and billions of people who are unreached. And so quickly, I'm going to give you 7 practical ways, things that you can start doing today, even some of them before you leave this building today. 7 practical ways that you can begin to grow your heart for the nations and grow your heart for the unreached. First, and it's a simple one, meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. When you truly dive into Scripture, you will see that from cover to cover, God has an undeniable passion for the nations. He has an undeniable passion for the outcast and the lowly. You will not be able to escape that. Simply open up to any part of your Bible and you will see God's heart. That God's heart is to rescue the nations. His desire is to seek and save the lost. And so first and foremost, simply open up the Word and meditate on God's heart. Because if you begin to meditate on God's heart, your heart will grow as well towards the nations. Two, spread the gospel to the nations here in Kansas City. Our nation is a melting pot. Very much so. The nations are in our backyard. On this street right here on 81st, we have several, not just one, several refugees from hard to reach places, places where the gospel has not yet fully gone. If you go down a little bit more south into the Paseo, seemingly every household speaks another language. There are hundreds of local businesses in our city that are ran by people from unreached places. So what do? We frequent these places. We say, you're selling rice? I want to come to that place. You're selling coffee? I want to come to that place. Make relationships. Care for these people that God has brought to your doorstep. You don't have to go far. Start evangelizing here and now. Maybe even this day. Because now is not the time for excuses. Now is not the time to talk more about methods or motivation for evangelism. I think if you've been in the church for any amount of time, you have heard methods and motivation for evangelism. Now is the time to begin. To begin to speak to the nations in your own backyard. Jesus has given us a simple and straightforward command. Explain the gospel. Through your words and through your loving example, start small, but think big. Start spreading the gospel to the nations that are right around you. Three, pray specifically for the unreached. Pray specifically for the unreached. To pray for someone or a group of people, you need to know that group of people, and so you need to do some learning. That's what we're going to do here shortly. So we're going to learn about people groups, and then we need to start praying for them. You have an opportunity, a responsibility, and I would say a privilege to participate in God's work all across this globe through prayer. We need to make prayer a priority. Because here's the thing, no matter your age in this room, you have had people pray for you. You have had people encourage you through prayer, strengthen you through prayer, push you along in prayer. Through prayer, we get the opportunity to partake in God's work in this world. We get the honor of working side by side with our Savior. See, prayer must not simply be a formality at the beginning of our meals or Bible studies. Prayer is a time to commune with the living God. And it is a time that you get to work alongside of him for this global purpose. Fourth, give sacrificially. Give sacrificially. Consider how you are using your money. Where you are giving your money. Next question, are you giving your money? How can you align your financial treasures with God's global purposes? And don't think, once I get to a certain amount of money, then I will start to give. It will only get harder. You must start to give now, with as little or as much as God has given to you. Give now and give strategically for God's glory amongst the nations. Fifth, go to other countries. Go to other countries. Look for opportunities to go, to learn, to serve. In the coming years, I hope that through some efforts of mine and others, Gashen will give you several opportunities to go and spend some time in areas where the gospel is not. And I think by traveling, even just for a short time, you can gain perspective as a sender of missionaries to the nation. And maybe even some of you will receive conviction to become one of the people who actually goes to those nations long term. Sixth, read biographies of missionaries. There are plenty and plenty and plenty of biographies of missionaries. If you're struggling to find one, please come to my office. I'll give you 10. Read In the Shadow of the Almighty, a story about the courage and conviction of a young man named Jim Elliot. Read From Jerusalem to Irian Jaya, a book that has compiled many accounts of missions from the Apostle Paul all the way to modern day missions. I can't tell you how much these accounts have changed my perspective on missions, my perspective on life, my perspective on my purpose in this world. There are so many fantastic accounts of bold men and women who have taken God's global purposes seriously. These men and women, many who died in their efforts, are so precious that we see in Romans 10:15, even their soiled and bloody feet are called beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You see, beautiful feet are not soft, manicured, painted, well-tanned feet. Beautiful feet are the dirty, worn, wrinkled, leathery, scarred feet from many miles of trekking into remote places with good news that could not be heard any other way. Seventh and finally, hold loosely to your life. Hold loosely to your life because it is not yours. Surrender your life to the Lord that he might use it as he sees fit, not as you see fit, but as he sees fit. I know that many of us are prone to run from even maybe slight discomforts. We often can sometimes water down our convictions because we fear the ramifications. We want to be accepted by society. We want to be sensitive. We want to live out the American dream. But you and I, we must be willing to go wherever Christ wants us. We must all pray something along the lines of this: God, please give me the strength to go where you want me and to do what you want me. God, please use me in whatever way that you see fit. I want to finish with a short plea from the missionary that I just spoke about, missionary and martyr Jim Elliot, who was writing to a fellow college student, and he said this, and it's stayed with me for years. Christ needs some fellows to sell out to him and recklessly toss their lives into his work. And it seems to me like you ought to be one of them. It seems to me like everyone here is here for a purpose, and it seems to me like everyone in here ought to be one of them, ought to be one of these who throws their life, recklessly tossing their life into God's purposes and says, I want to go where you want me. I want to do what you want me. My life is yours. It is time to recklessly toss your life wherever God deems fit. That we would go to the nations, that we would have a heart cultivated for the nations, and that we would not rest until all know the name of Jesus. Let me pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your love and your grace. God, thank you for involving us in your mission. God, I pray right now for hearts to be softened for the nations, to be softened for the gospel. God, I pray that we would be willing to hold our life loosely. God, that we would run after you. God, that we would learn about the nations, that we would pray about the nations, that we would not sit idly by while millions perish without ever hearing the good news. God, I pray that that would not sit well with anyone in this room. God, that we would go from here, God, and that we would spread the gospel passionately. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.